never forget why you are the church.
Amen. Amen. I know the only reason I can stand here this morning unashamed is not because I'm worthy, it's because of mercy. I've struggled with this text all week long that I would preach this morning. And it was so good to be back home in our home, in my home church. And I struggled all week. The enemy fought me. Can I tell you something? The enemy's come in this house this morning. The enemy don't want a breakthrough. The enemy does not want strongholds pulled down. The enemy fought me all week. He said, Kenny, you don't need to preach what you're going to preach. God had placed this on my heart a few months prior. And the enemy kept talking to me and telling me, Kenny, it's not going to be received. Yesterday at 3 o'clock, I was sitting in my office at the shop. Before 3 o'clock, in my office at the shop. And I was going to rewrite today's message. I was going to use a generic outline. I was not going to preach what I was going to preach, what I had studied, what I'd prepared. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call. And it was a young man I used to coach years ago. I hadn't heard from him in probably about a year. He had just come back from a men's conference. He said, Coach, I just want to call you and tell you, thank you. Thank you for pouring into me. Thank you for being salt. Thank you for casting your salt on me when I was younger. He said, you come to my mind in this conference. And he said, God just put you on my spirit. And I want to reach out and say, I love you. And thank you for what you did. So many times we do jobs. And there's no accolades. There's no gratitude, it seems. And sometimes you feel like, why am I doing this? Can I tell you something? No, you're making a difference. Especially when you're doing the work of the Lord. This morning, I'd like to share with you the message that God pressed into my spirit over the last few months. This is going to be a heavy text. It's going to be some things that you don't want to hear. I've got a feeling there's going to be some of y'all that don't really like me when I'm done. But can I tell you something? This is not given out of ill will. This is given out of love. The messages that I preach, most of the time, y'all, let me just explain something to you. They are messages that the Holy Spirit has convicted me of. I'm not saying you're guilty of any of these charges, but guess what? You're looking at a man here who's been guilty of most of them. So when the Holy Spirit convicts me in my life and says, Kenny, here's something you really need to look at. Kenny, let me reveal this to you. I feel it pressed in my spirit to be obedient and to preach what he would have me preach. I think that we would all agree that today we live in a culture that is all about me. I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it, and I want it now. We have a smartphone, a computer, an iPad that we can dial up any information we want to dial up just like that. There was a time when phones had cords, kids, believe it or not. And they didn't go to every event, including the bathroom. Okay? Verizon was still on the horizon. Okay? T-Mobile was a gas station. And Cricket was a bug that you took fishing. There wasn't all this technology. I feel like we have become complete consumers. And unfortunately, we bring that attitude into the church. My time is valuable. I will not share it with anybody. My money is valuable. I will not share it with anybody. My gift is valuable, and I will not share it with anybody, especially the church. Can I tell you something? This is not a new thing. It is not a new phenomenon. This text, we're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to look at Proverbs 30, 15 through 16. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to Proverbs 30, 15 through 16. When you get there, say, read. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough. Y'all pray with me. Father God, we just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the many blessings in which you've been giving me. Lord, I'm not worthy, but all because of mercy I can stand here today. Lord, I ask right now that you would illuminate my mind, illuminate my heart, and loosen my tongue. Lord, give me the words you'd have me say and the words that you would not, don't let me say. Lord, I ask right now that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, let it be your words that we hear and not mine, because mine don't matter. Lord, let me preach with clarity, wisdom, but most of all, Holy Ghost power. Because without the Holy Ghost, Lord, there ain't nothing going to happen here today. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Christ's name we pray, amen. When you look at Proverbs 30, 15 through 16, the writer is a gore. He is talking about the horse leech having two daughters crying, give and give me more. They are never satisfied. If you look at a horse leech, it has two suckers on each end. Janaea, Alexa, if y'all would put that up on the screen, please. Man, I'm going to tell y'all something. That first picture got me. I ain't about to get no water with no horse leech. If you look at this horse leech, it has two ends, and it attaches itself to a host. You see, when an animal or horse would put its head down in water, the leech would attach itself to the side of the mouth to suck the nutrients, the blood, and whatever it needed out of the horse leech. It would finally get to the point where it would get so heavy and so full, its body weight would pull itself away from the host. You see, what Agor was trying to say here was it was a comparison. The leech is like the heart, the attitude, the spirit of a person or people that had gotten so selfish that all they say is, give me and give me more. This was his comparison to those times. It's about a concept or an ideal of way of living that says, I want it all, and I'm not willing to give anything in return. I'm going to attach myself to something or someone else to satisfy my selfish needs. Agor was hoping to tell people who were reading him, you don't want to get caught up in being that type of individual who just takes and never gives. I don't know about you, but do you hear this word called me-ism? Kind of new for me. It's all about me. If you look on social media, there's coaches that are going to help you sell cars faster. They're going to make your dreams come true. They're going to give you all the ingredients you need, all the keys to success. They want you to be a better you. All your dreams come true. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's when it consumes you is when we get into the problem. When it's all about me. It's very dangerous when all we see or hear It's people teaching us to be takers and not givers. People who do not bless others. Can I be real with y'all this morning? It is not compatible with the kingdom of God for us to just be takers and not servants. It does not line up. God does not desire us to be people who get saved, to become a leech or a taker. He wants us to get saved, be equipped, be gifted, and make a difference in people's lives. Amen? The church should never be a place of selfish people who are coming to church just to sit and warm the pews. I saw this week, and I thought it was so fitting for this message. Stand up. Everybody stand up. I want you to turn around and feel your pew where your butt was. Y'all feel that? If the only contribution you make to the kingdom of God every week is a warm spot on that pew, you are not living out what God would desire you to do and who He desires you to be. Y'all can sit back down. We have been called to be salt and light, to demonstrate the goodness of God and the kingdom of God in a way that becomes a solution for people who are blind and we want to make a difference in their life. Unfortunately, the church has also become a place where folks want to be served and not serve. The national statistics say this, that 34% of the church are producers. 66% of the church are consumers. Can I tell you something this morning? I think that number's skewed. I would beg to differ that number of consumers is higher than that. I would say it's more like 85% have come to consume, 15% have come to work, which we've been called to do. That means we have a church full of people who come in every Sunday morning, check the box off, want the preacher to get them fat and full where they can fall off of him, get in the truck, go home, and not think about church again the rest of the week. Lord, have mercy on us. We got VBS coming up. Wonder how many people signed up for VBS. We've got things we do here. We got a media team that needs help. We got a worship team that needs help. We got a body of believers supposed to be working for the same goal, pulling in the same direction, that need help. Can I tell you something? You want to know why you look? Sometimes you're like, well, where did Sister Kathleen go? She gave up. She got tired of being the only one here. She got tired of opening the church, closing the church. She got weary. She got beaten up. This morning, I want to look at three biblical points here. And if you're looking for a title of this message, it ain't Kenny's going to holler the whole time. It's breaking the mold of the consumer church. This morning, we're going to look at three principles that God put on my heart. What can we do? What is the recipe? How do we get out of this laziness? First off is, we got to stir up what we've been given. We got to stir it up. 2 Timothy 1:6. Matter of fact, I'm going to go 1:6-14. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That ought to get a hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's abolished death. He's brought light through immortality. Whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against the day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. If you've been born again, you got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. The very Spirit that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside of us all. If you've been born again. You see, here we see Paul writing to Timothy and all Christians, giving final instructions and encouragement to Timothy, the pastor of Ephesus. You see, Paul was in his final days, writing his final words. One of the most knowledgeable, influential, and beloved men in history, the Apostle Paul, was facing death. He was not dying of a disease in a sterile hospital surrounded by his loved ones. He was very much alive, but his condition was terminal. Can I tell y'all something this morning? You may be alive, you may be feeling good, but you have a terminal condition. One day, we are all appointed a time of death. It is never missed. It is batting 1,000. It is going to find you somewhere at some time. But you see, Paul knew that death was coming. He was sitting in a prison cell, and he knew that death was on the horizon. But instead of him cowering down, instead of him quitting, he gets his writing utensils and he starts writing to Timothy. Let Timothy know to be encouraged. Have faith. Passing the torch to him. You see, Paul, even in his darkest hour, Paul stirred up the Holy Spirit that found him on Damascus Road when he was blinded and knocked off a horse, when he was Saul of Tarsus. He felt the very Spirit of God inside of him, and he started up. He didn't quit. He didn't sit down on his butt. He didn't warm the jail cell. He began to work. Can I tell y'all something this morning? If you've been born again, you got the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you. Anybody like chocolate milk growing up? Woo! I love some chocolate milk. It got me fired up. I borrowed this from the kitchen. I will wash it. You take that old milk, that old red top milk. Wasn't that old girly blue top milk. That milk like gravy. That milk, why my triglycerides are 400 probably. But you take that old red top milk, son, you pour it in a glass. Woo! Will you pour a glass? I know some of y'all about to take this milk. Then you go up. Boy, and if you was lucky. We never had no Hershey's. It was some store brand chocolate syrup. But you take that syrup, Boy, I was about to get buck wild. You take that syrup. Boy, you just get it full. You just get it full. Okay? Man, you get that chocolate milk. I'd give a little extra to my daddy just to fire him up. About the only thing we'd ever do together was drink chocolate milk. Now, I want to show y'all something. Same ingredients in this cup. That chocolate's on the bottom. That milk's on top. What we would do is this. We'd get us a spoon. Well, it's a big old spoon, too. Boy, we'd start stirring it up. Well, I'll clean it up, I promise. Whoever does clean in here. We used to stir it up. We used to stir it up, and we'd want to get all that stuff off the bottom. Now, you see, these two cups had the same ingredients in them. One's been stirred, and one's not. One we want, one we don't. You see, I'm going to tell y'all something this morning. The same ingredients are in these two cups, but one looks different than the other. Can I tell you something this morning? That you're sitting here, some of y'all, and you don't do nothing. You've got the same ingredients inside of you. You've got the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, but you become calloused. You become numb. You become worked to death. And all of a sudden, you need a good stirring of the Holy Ghost. This church, I'm here to tell y'all this morning, needs a good stirring of the Holy Spirit of God. We have stalled out, folks. Jake didn't pay me. He didn't ask me to preach this. But I'm looking at it. We have stalled out. We have become lazy. We need to get stirred up. I know a lot of y'all look at me and you say, man, this guy's crazy. He brings that towel. He sweats. He cries. Let me tell you why. Because I'm stirred up about God. In my darkest hour, a man named Jesus come through. He lifted me out of my disparity. Man, let me tell you about this man named Jesus. He did something for me that I could never do for myself. He paid a sin debt I could never pay. And through his blood, I'm saved. We should get stirred up. Can I tell y'all something this morning? You get stirred up. It's just what stirs you up is the difference. Janaea, post him football pictures. Let me tell y'all something. Take you down to Neyland Stadium on a Saturday. Some of y'all look Pentecostal. Woo! Go Vols! Go Vols! Next clip. Look at this cat. This dude's wild. The Rams ain't been no good in a while. He's still loving them. Next clip. Red eyes. Them boys are nuts. But they're stirred up. They're stirred up. Next clip. Duke fans, stirred up. Next clip. Uh-oh. Next clip. Wildlife. Ooh. Boy, some of y'all got a trigger finger right there. Some of y'all wouldn't been on stage, y'all would have shot me. Hey, you're stirred up about your hunting. You're stirred up about your fishing. Look at that. Ooh, boy, that's a good one. Get you on a boat. Get you in a tree stand. Get you out in a field. Get you away from church. And I guarantee you get stirred up. The ones of you that used to run the roads with me, son, it didn't take much to get me stirred up. Give me a few beers and I was ready to go. But we come in here and now we've got the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And we want to sit on our butts. We can't say amen, hallelujah. We can't raise our hands. We can't stand up and worship. You ought to see some of the sour faces that these worship people see. You think it's easy for them to get up here and sing these songs? It's time to get stirred up, church. That's what we got to do. We got to get stirred up to break this mold. Real pointed question. What stirs you up this morning? Next, number two, serve up what we've been given. Galatians 5, 13 through 15 says this. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by the love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbors as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed by one another. Here we look at freedom to sin and freedom to serve. Freedom to sin is no freedom at all because it enslaves us to Satan and others and our own evil desires. The flesh is not talking about your skin or physical body, but the sinful nature that attempts to use your bodies to lead us to sin. People who are slaves to sin are not free to live righteous lives. Christians, by contrast, shouldn't be slaves to sin because they are free to do right and glorify God through their actions. John 8:36 confirms this. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. If you are saved this morning, you got a reason to be happy. I know I do. I'm a born again, blood bought, child of the King. He picked me up. He turned me around. He put my feet on a solid ground. He redeemed me through his love. And through his love, one day, soon and very soon, he's going to step out of glory. And he's going to come and get his bride. That's the church. We should be happy. Folks, we need to serve out of the love and gifts we've been given. The greatest thing being love. When we are not motivated by love, we become critical of others. Can I tell you something, beloved? That's the biggest problem with the church I see. We stop looking for the good in others, in our brothers and sisters of the faith, only to see their faults. Soon, the unity of believers is broken. Can I ask you a question this morning? It's between you and you and God. Have you talked about somebody this morning that goes to church here? Have you stabbed somebody in the back that goes to church here this morning? Have you looked at their shortcomings and not their strengths? Can I tell you something, church? The problem is we won't go to our brothers and sisters in love, but we'll gossip about them in spite. That's a heart problem. And we're all guilty of it. 1 Peter 4:9-11 says this. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister. That word means serve. Minister means serve. The same one to another as good stewards of the manifold of God's grace. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, serve. Let him do it as the ability which God has given him, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Not by might, nor by power, but the Spirit of God. Folks, I'm going to tell y'all a funny story, and it's true. I think it's, man, it's time limit now where my daddy can't get in trouble. My daddy used to take me to the bars with him. 12, 13 years old. I was my daddy's chauffeur. My daddy was a drunk, and he was a mean drunk. He'd take me to the bars with him, and I'd sit and I'd see things that no kid should ever see. I'd see men get mad at each other, break beer bottles, cut each other, stab each other, fight each other, shoot each other. I've seen men shot. I went to bed at night with mattresses in front of my windows, afraid of retaliation from the enemy. But you know what always blew my mind? A week later, them old boys would get together again. Man, they'd shake hands. My bad, dog. My bad, man. I got a little too crazy. Got a little out of control. I love you. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And they never revisit it again. But yet we as Christians, the representatives of the faith, co-heirs to Christ, the salt, the light, supposedly the set apart, will backbite each other, talk about each other, dog each other, and we'll never say, I'm sorry. We'll sit on this side, you sit on that side. But don't come on my side. I ain't talking to you. I ain't praying for you. I sure ain't serving with you. And we wonder why folks ain't coming to church. Why folks are always talking about Christians. Why is our youth but went buck wild? Why are things so dark and evil? Can I tell y'all something? It's a shame when drunks in a bar can show more love than people at this church. It is a shame when people that we condemn can show more love and forgiveness than we do as the body of Christ. Now that I done made y'all mad, we'll get to point three because it ain't going to be no easier to digest. We must sacrifice up what we've been given. We must sacrifice up what we've been given. Romans 12, 1 through 3. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Can I tell y'all something? Do you know what the difference between mercy and grace is? Do y'all know what the difference is? Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Grace is God giving us something we did not deserve. Can I tell y'all something this morning? We deserved a fiery hell. But God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. That whosoever, believe in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. Boy, that eternity thing's a long time. He did that for us, but we're unwilling to do for him. We get so caught up in ourselves, our me-isms. I work hard. I just don't have time to serve others. My time, my time. I'm going to sit here, watch my TV shows, eat my moon pies, and drink my RC Colas. And I don't care what anybody else thinks. I got a yard to mow, house to pressure wash, a job to work, money to make. And it all takes time. Can I tell y'all something? We measure our time different than God does. See, we measure time in chronos. Chronos is linear time, quantum time. Boy, I know y'all can't believe this old boy from Kentucky just said all that. It is a day after a day, minute after minute, hour after hour, and that's what we invest in. But see, God's time is kairos. It's a time that's been appointed to do a certain thing. Can I tell y'all something right now? This world's dying and going to hell. If you think you can't witness to somebody, you think you can't find nobody lost, go out here on this street. Matter of fact, you probably don't have to leave this church. There's somebody dying today and going to hell. And all we're worried about is my time. My time. Randy, will you help me for a minute? You want to drink chocolate milk? Hold that right there. I want to show y'all something. We get so concerned with time. We get so concerned with time. I want you to think about this as eternity. That white part is when you're born. And you go through your childhood. You go to school, high school, college, the military. That's the white part. Can I tell y'all something? It's probably the best time of your life. You just don't know it yet. Then we got this red part. A little bit longer. It represents us working, doing our things on our time. I got to make as much money as I can. I've got to invest in things that I can. I've got to put away money. I can't go to church. I've got to save. I've got to work three jobs. I can't tithe. I just can't afford to do that. I don't have the time. Then this little black part, unfortunately, everything we'd work for in the world gets into this little snapshot of time. When your health starts to deteriorate, when all the money you saved that you thought you was going to go on vacations, you thought you was going to do all these things, unfortunately, stroke, heart attack, cancer, all the things that go on, hit by a semi-truck. All of a sudden, all that stuff you worked for, all that stuff you put your time in, is gone. You've stored up nothing for eternity. And let me show you something about time. Randy, take that rope and just start walking that way. I asked Randy because he rigs stuff all the time welding. Had a buddy used to tell me, throw me off an airplane with extension cord, I'd never hit the ground. Y'all catch that one day. But if you look at this rope and you put this into the relationship of time, born, school, college, military, career, time, 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 death, sickness, and we've done it all for that little bit. But look at that rope of eternity. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Forever and ever. Amen. When we get to heaven or you get to hell, God forbid it's hell. You're going to spend eternity worshiping the King of Kings or being tormented with fire and the gnashing of teeth and the screaming of cries that are unimaginable. We've never seen no pain like that. Let's look at this. How much is your time really worth? How much is your time really worth? When you put it in perspective, we better be working for God and not our 401ks and not our IRAs. And there's nothing wrong with being good stewards of money, but don't let the money possess you. You possess the money. God has given you that. That is His blessing for your work, for your health. Guys, when you look at time, it's not what we think it is. It's very, very short. I never knew how short. My granddaddy and daddy always told me, "Big boy, time's going to get away from you." I look at my sons and my daughters sitting here this morning. Man, they got better beards than I do. They've grown up. They got their own families. And the time I spent working, trying to get somewhere in this life, trying to get the material things that I thought they needed, I wasted a lot of times, a lot of time for the Lord. Things I could have been doing that would have made a difference in eternity and not here on this earth. Can I tell you something? That long black train's coming for us all. Not one's ever been missed. We better have our stuff together. We better know that we're working for God and not this world. What really matters is us sacrificing our gifts, our calling to advance the kingdom of God. That we are givers and not takers. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says this: "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Just as children imitate their parents, we should imitate Christ. His great love for us led him to sacrifice himself so that we may live. Our love for one another should be the same kind. A love that goes beyond affection to self-sacrificing service. Mark 10:45 says this: "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Folks, can I tell y'all something this morning? You were saved, equipped, and called to serve. Why do we choose not to? If even the Son of Man gave his life of a ransom, how can we choose not to love and serve and sacrifice ourselves for Christ? Shame on us. Can I tell y'all, worthy was the Lamb that was slain. Worthy was the Lamb that was slain. I thought about something the other day. Janice, Jim, Mr. Cobby. We went to see Miss G a week before she passed away. And I'll be honest with y'all, that's something I struggle with. is going to see folks in hospitals and places like that, nursing homes. I've just never liked those places. They creep me out. They wear me out. Man, I get sick. My heart rate goes to 400. I mean, I just can't. I don't like being in those places. But can I tell you something? I'm so glad. And I'm not saying this to glorify me. There's a point. I'm so glad that we went and got to see Miss Jean. That last week when she knew everything was going on, she sang those little hymns, just so pretty. And she knew that the Holy Spirit lived inside of her and she had courage. She mustered up that little voice and she sang with Melanie. And I'm telling y'all right now that I felt the presence. I felt the Shekinah glory of God fall on that place in that nursing home. Can I tell you this? I was watching something the other day. It reminded me of y'all. There was a soldier who come home from combat. He hadn't seen his wife and little kid in about a year and a half. They showed him at the airport. They're sitting there with their little signs. Great anticipation of seeing their daddy. Separated by time and distance. And man, when that daddy come up to the top of that escalator, whoo, that little mama got to jump. Boy, she got to shouting, and she got to running, and her kids got to running. Daddy, 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 daddy. They couldn't believe it. He was home. Let me tell y'all something. Keep your faith. Be strong. Remember that Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Because I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Cobb, Janice, Jim. One day, you're going to be at that little terminal in the sky. And that may not be good theology, but y'all can fact check me later. But y'all are going to be at that little terminal in the sky. And I'm going to tell you something. Little corner of heaven. Miss Jean's going to walk out. And she's going to have a new body. She's going to have a new song. She's going to have a new dance. She ain't going to be hurting. She ain't going to be in no pain. She's going to be in glory with Jesus. Can I tell y'all something? There's going to come a day. I know you're broken. I know you're hurting. But stir up that Holy Spirit inside of you. Miss Jean's going to be there. And whoa, it's going to be a heavenly reunion. Do y'all got loved ones that's left you? I think about my granddaddy. He never got to hear me preach because I was too hard-headed to give up my life. I was too worried about my time, too worried about my money, too worried about what I wanted to do. My little granddaddy, he always prayed for me. Kenny, may the mantle of God fall on you. And I always thought to myself, is he trying to kill me with a fireplace? Because I really didn't know. But my granddaddy was investing in me. He was pouring salt on me. Can I tell you something? There's people in this church who have poured salt on me. I'll never forget it. We're the salt and the light. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all have got real comfortable in the shaker. If you get too comfortable too long, it loses all of its flavor. We're not called to lose our flavor. Melanie, worship team, would y'all come up here? Hey, I told Melanie I was like a pit bull this morning. I didn't know how long it was going to last. Y'all going to beat the Methodist at Cracker Barrel. Melanie, musicians, would y'all come up here this morning? preached this as hard as I could preach it. And I've said everything God would have me to say. If this was my last day, I can say I did what he asked me to do. We hear this. I can't wait to get to heaven where I can hear, "Job well done, thy good and faithful servant." Can I ask you a question though? How are you going to hear it if you never served? Woo! That's good preaching right there. How are you going to hear the Lord say, "Job well done, thy good and faithful servant," if you've never served, if all you did was sit on your butts? Can you say this morning that you stir up what you've been given? Can you say this morning you serve of what you've been given? Can you say you sacrifice up from what you've been given? Are you a horse leech? Are you never satisfied? All you do is cry, "Give me and give me more." Head bowed.